You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's a continuation of our discussion about United States of Healthcare. UnitedStatesOfHealthcare.com is a website where you can get all kinds of resources on how to optimize your healthcare and to better navigate the U.S. healthcare system, because sometimes it is fraught with difficulty, heart rate, it's a complicated fracture, and confusing and dehumanizing experience. So helping us with that is a consumer advocate, Joyce Griggs. And Joyce, the COVID pandemic has created a whole new set of challenges and opportunities for healthcare, because a lot of people were chary of going into doctor's offices or getting procedures. A lot of doctor's offices had limited hours, and telemedicine became a thing. So what are some of the pluses and minuses of telemedicine, and how can you equip patients to better leverage the benefits of telemedicine without the pitfalls?
I think that telemedicine is makes such a difference, right? Because we've had it in terms of, like, if you live in an area where there aren't a lot of specialists and you have to travel an hour or more, telemedicine can be a big help to people like that. And as you said, with COVID, it became almost a necessity. One of the problems, of course, was that insurance wouldn't cover it. And the pandemic, one of the silver linings of the pandemic is now insurance is still is covering this, and the Telemedicine Association, I think, is working hard to continue to have that happen. The pitfalls, of course, are the technology. And if you aren't, and it doesn't matter your age, because I don't want to be ageist about this, because there are plenty of people who are younger who don't really play with technology. It's not just the young. If you don't have access to streaming service, to broadband that's going to allow you to stream video, it can be really difficult to do a video call. However, you can still do an old-fashioned telephone call, and that is telemedicine. I think the problems with it are the problems with anything where you can't be face-to-face is that you can't read all the cues. You can't read all the cues in the room. So there's convenience factor to it, and then, of course, there are also negatives in not being able to be face to face with your provider, but you can have a conversation, and that I think is important.
Right. So, and I think it's going to be an up and coming thing. I think they have to work out the reimbursement. One of the limitations is that when I see a patient via telemedicine, they may say, for example, I've got a sore elbow, and I can hold it up and I can look at it, but I can't palpate it. I can't examine it. I can't feel if it's sore or there's swelling or if there's redness and heat, which could tell me a lot about the origins of the problem. Can't do physical exam. Can't listen to their heart. Although there are devices now that enable you to monitor the heart from home. You can even send people your tracing from your Apple Watch. Do you think that these devices are going to make it a little easier to do proper telemedicine?
I mean, I think that the what's going to happen with devices, with virtual reality, with augmented reality, all of these things are going to For example, just to go on a small tangent, things with virtual reality for years have been used to help treat post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many things that technology...
And phobias. I mean, for example, yeah. like somebody who has a fear of flying, you know, without yeah. getting on an actual plane, they can experience, you know, while comfortably seated in their living room, the experience of going to the airport, going through the terminal, going, you know, sitting on the plane. And that's called desensitization. And then ultimately they can have a real experience, which is the ultimate test of whether it works.
Yes, exactly. And also the practitioner can also have the experience of what it means for that they've been doing it at one of the universities of California, where the practitioners can also have the experience of the patient, which also then virtual reality becomes an empathy machine. Right, making it even, you know, you become more sensitized as a practitioner in terms of helping your patient through. So I think there's a lot. It's just that there's, sometimes technology can create a divide, especially these devices. You mentioned the Apple Watch. It's amazing. It's expensive, and so you create a divide between right. who can afford it, mm-hmm. who cannot afford it.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, and frankly. When you place a lot of instrumentation on people, they monitor their sleep, they monitor their heart rate, they monitor, you know, every conceivable function of their body, is that sometimes it creates kind of excessive focus and a lot of false alarms. Mm-hmm. And doctors who receive these warnings sometimes get warning fatigue. They eventually ignore a large percentage of the warnings and beeps and messages that they receive.
Yeah. That can happen. It's true. But there, there's a lot there. And I think that it can only be to our advantage, right? To have as technology increases, but this access, additional access through telemedicine to specialists and to our doctors and our healthcare professionals is just, it's a bonus. It is definitely a bonus of what happened during the pandemic. So I think it will have pluses and negatives, but mostly pluses.
So a lot of people have problems with health insurance. I mean, they have problems getting health mm-hmm. insurance. They have problems then paying the premiums. And then sometimes they find to their horror that things that they think are covered are not covered. I hearken to the case recently. It was in San Francisco. A woman ingested something that she thought might be laced with fentanyl. So she showed up at the emergency room and she had a whole battery of tests. And basically they sent her home and said, you know, we think you're okay. And then she received a bill for $6,000 for tests that were not covered by her insurer because she was alarmed and went to the emergency room. And, you know, it was a milk run, essentially, but an expensive one.
Yeah. This is one of the biggest conundrums, I think, of our system is the understanding of our insurance. First of all, we equate healthcare with insurance. And it's not quite the same thing. Although, yes, if we don't have coverage, it's very hard to get healthcare. And to understand how your health plan is set up in terms of what they will cover and what they will not, especially as it relates to emergent care, because in an emergency, you go into action mode and it's like nearest hospital, get there. And most insurance companies will cover wherever you go for an emergency situation. It doesn't matter if you're in state or out of state or at the in-network hospital or an out-of-network hospital, but you really need to know that in a calm moment, it's really important to call your insurance provider, get them on the phone, and understand what they cover and what they don't in these situations, so that you can, so that you can act responsibly, meaning responsible to yourself financially. The other thing, of course, is that these things can be negotiated. So, at the end of the day, do you really is she going to pay that full $6,000? Because you can negotiate with your insurance provider and you can negotiate with the provider of care. And these are important things that people need to remember when it comes to getting those quote unquote, out of pocket bills. Everything is negotiable. So take a breath and think about that and take those steps.
You know, then there's this whole issue of under various insurance schemes. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Well, that didn't turn out to be entirely the case for a lot of people. And there's this issue sometimes, let's say you need to see a specialist. You know you need to see a specialist. Maybe you've got, swollen joints, and you figure it makes sense to see a rheumatologist, but your insurance requires that you wait an appointment with your primary care, who then can make an appropriate referral to the rheumatologist. How do you navigate that kind of situation?
So it's true. There is, the gatekeeper syndrome. Now, many plans these days, and even I have a plan that maybe isn't the greatest, but it's decent plan. It's sort of a decent run-of-the-mill plan. I can go to a specialist without a referral from my primary care provider. That's the one thing you just need to check with your insurance company. And then you need to work with your primary care doctor. That's why it's so important, I think, because of what you're saying about needing to see a specialist and go through a gatekeeper, meaning your primary care doctor, that we pick primary care doctors that work for us. And some people will say, well, I don't have a lot of choice of primary care doctors because I'm in a box with my plan. Then what we say is then get to know that doctor and all of their, whether you like them or not, it's the devil you know. And so understand how you can work with them. But they will be able to give you, that referral and to the doctor that you want to see, provided that they're covered by your plan. But I say, always have the best relationship you can with your primary care doctor because it's important.
Right. And there's this other phenomenon of people, who are on Medicare, which is great because, the fees can really be minimal and you can get all kinds of coverage. But sometimes you feel like a second-class citizen when it comes to care. Doctors, because of the reimbursement differentials, are sometimes a little wary of seeing a Medicare patient. And maybe your doctor sees you and you've got problems which you think should be addressed, and the doctor says, yeah, come back in 6 months. They're not too anxious to keep seeing you.
Yeah. I mean, it is a conundrum. A friend of mine, about a year ago, she moved from California to Oregon. She is on Medicare, and it took her 6 months to find a doctor because either they weren't taking new patients or they were not taking Medicare patients or both. Mm-hmm. And she eventually did find a very good doctor, and she used our guide to ask all of her questions and understand. I mean, it was really for her the only game in town. It turned out to be a great relationship for her. But yeah, it is a conundrum here in our country. And I don't know what to say or do about that, except to say that our doctors treat us differently. And I'd be curious what you think about this. When we come to our appointments prepared, mm-hmm. asking questions, mm-hmm. and having high expectations. At the end of the day, medicine is it's like a service industry. Doctors, nurses, they want us to get better. Mm-hmm. They're excited to see things, transpire for us in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. So the more that we can engage and be that engaged patient that mm-hmm. comes to the table in that way with setting higher expectations, I think the better off we'll be, no matter what these other problems are that exist in the system. They will always exist.
And I agree with you. I find that, highly motivated patients correspondingly motivate me to go to bat more for them. And patients who are very passive, I feel like sometimes it's a little like pulling teeth, and it's arduous to get them on board to a treatment plan. Another issue, of course, is affording medications. And I think there's a real disconnect between doctors and their prescription pads and the pharmacies and what's reimbursable. A doctor may decide that this or that of the medication is the bomb for you. It's just going to be ideal for your situation. And then you go to the pharmacy and they say, your copay will cover some of that, but it's still going to cost you $600 a month out of pocket. And you say, no way, no how. I can't do that. So do you address that in your advice to patients at United States of Healthcare?
We do, and there's a few aspects of that to unpack. I'll tell a personal start with a personal story. My and this was also part of my former husband's story. He was hospitalized. He was put onto a medication, a new medication. We were very involved talking with his doctors and his social worker on a regular basis. And we said, okay, just make sure whatever medicines you change him to, that they're covered by his insurance. Well, they released him on a medicine that they had stabilized him on that was not covered by his insurance. And we found that out when he got to the pharmacy.
Right.
And
the pharmacist, sticker shock, yeah.
Yep, exactly. And the pharmacist called me and said, because we have a relationship where they're pharmacists and we highly recommend one pharmacy, get a relationship with your pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, sorry, we don't know what to do, but it's $500 a month.
Yeah.
You're in sticker shock. And so there are a couple things you can do. If you're not on Medicare, so this is for people who are not on Medicare, you can go to, there are, so if it's a, it, in this case, in these cases, it's usually a brand name drug. You can go to the manufacturer, and they do have programs to help pay for, so not just copay cards, but also other programs that will help you pay for the medicine.
They have patient assistance
that's
programs.
That's right.
Yeah. And they will make exceptions. I mean, they seem cold-hearted and bloodthirsty often, but they do actually want to, at least for... greenwashing and the benefits of appearance to not appear to be, gouging patients with extravagant prices if they can't afford them.
That's absolutely right. If you're on Medicare, however, it has to do with I think federal law.
It's set. Right.
Yeah. That's right. Those prices are set. So there's no, you cannot get the assistance programs and you cannot get the copay cards. So, and that unfortunately was our situation. So eventually he had to be changed off of that medicine. Of course, we were lucky enough to be able to afford that. But most Americans, as we know, the statistic, we can't afford a $400 or more, surprise expense a month. So this doesn't work. So it's extremely important to work with your doctor on exactly that. Please do not give me a medicine that is not covered by my insurance, and work with your pharmacist. Know your pharmacist, because they can sometimes tell you if there is a generic equivalent that would be much more cost effective for you. So we recommend one pharmacy and a relationship with your pharmacist.
Do you have any comments on the issue of medical tourism? Because, these days, healthcare is super expensive, particularly, I would say dental care falls within that category. A lot of people aren't covered under our current healthcare system. Some people are, but majority of people are not to any great extent. And do you ever comment on the issue of going hither and thither and yon to get certain, perhaps elective procedures, things that are not, emergency interventions? Mm-hmm.
I mean, you mean like leave the country or within the country?
No, go to Brazil for dental surgery, for example, if you're going to have dental implants, which can be expensive.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have experience or know, we haven't really commented on those issues, but the one thing I will comment on is that you can price shop if you are getting an elective surgery here in the U.S. because now there are more and more laws coming about saying that transparency laws, they need to disclose how much they're going to charge for a procedure, and it can be vastly different just within a short radius of your home. So I think it's really important to ask those questions.
Great. Okay, so the United States of Healthcare is the website. Tell our listeners what are some of the resources that they might find there, and how they can can they subscribe and get newsletters or something?
Yeah, we have. Yes, you can subscribe and get our newsletter. We post a new blog post a couple of times a month. We cover things from what, you know, what's a good checklist if you're about to have an elective surgery in terms of preparing for that surgery or post-surgery for your discharge. How do you plan for that? We have a lot of really great information on the relationship with your pharmacist and how to build that. And of course, finding, you know, what do you do? What is the best approach to selecting a healthcare provider, a new doctor or a new nurse practitioner, and how we can interview our healthcare providers to understand what makes them tick so that we can have better relationships with them. And then we have some new, I'm excited to say we're going to have some new team members joining us who have expertise in insurance and claims denials. So sometimes we're denied care by our insurance companies, and that's going to be coming in the early part of 2023. So we'll be continuing to add to all of the work that we're doing in terms of how do you, can you be your best possible advocate, including, you know, legal and financial must-have documents, and how do we prepare those and have those available? Because it's just, it's important to be prepared. Like anything, you don't want to have to use these documents, but if you need them, you want to know that they're there.
Well, this is fantastic. It's a great resource, and you need really need to advocate for yourself because they're great opportunities and also a lot of pitfalls in our complicated healthcare system. And I think you're doing a lot to help patients navigate their way through it. So I appreciate very much what you're doing at United States of Healthcare.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here with you today. And I look forward to your listeners checking out our site and subscribing to our newsletter and our blog and our other content.
Thank you very much. That was Joyce Griggs. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover intelligent medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.